Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today the church celebrates one of the most significant events of the New Testament. As we read in our Old Testament lesson today, God is eternal. He is the great I Am. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the same God that we worship. He is the great I Am, Jehovah, Yahweh. He is the very breath of life. He always has been, he always shall be. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, revealed right in Genesis chapter 1. The Father is creating by the Word. John tells us that it is the Word that became flesh. This is Jesus, the eternal Son. And that the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the deep. Let us make man in our image. The triune God is the eternal God. At a specific time, the Son enters into the flesh of a virgin. He is born. He lives a perfect life. He dies and is raised. These are all miraculous things. This is the God that Moses sees burning in the bush. This is the God by which the heavens and the earth, the firmament, are made. This is the God that hung the stars in the sky, that moved all of creation around. This is our God. Jesus is God. His death, his resurrection is our only hope of not being damned for all of eternity. It is our only hope to not be in hell in that suffering for all of eternity. It is only Jesus. Only Jesus can save. Only faith in Jesus can save. A man named Saul believed in his religion very firmly. But his religion had rejected Jesus as the Christ. It was living for something else at that point. And he believed in his religion so vehemently that he had followers of the way. That is Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Followers of this way, Christians, he had them rounded up, arrested, and killed for living for Jesus. This is the same Saul that we see a chapter or two earlier, where when Stephen is giving a beautiful sermon, a sermon reminding everyone of how God had been with his Old Testament people under that covenant, how he had delivered them, how he had been with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how he had been with Moses, how he had delivered them into the promised land. And what did they do to Stephen? They stoned him to death because they claimed that he was committing blasphemy. And where was Saul during this? The scripture tells us. Those men that gathered to stone Stephen to death that day laid their cloaks at the feet of a man named Saul. This is the same Saul. The same Saul who's on the road to Damascus to arrest even more Christians, breathing out threats against them. Not just the men, but the women too. This is the Saul at which the feet are laid, the cloaks of those who kill against Christ. That's this Saul. A man that we wouldn't want in our own church. A man that Ananias was afraid to have in his own church for fear of death. But God's plans are always bigger than our plans. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so God can work through a wretched man, chief of sinners though he was, to bring about incredible things. If you have a loved one who is going through a time in his or her life where he is not or she is not submitting to Christ, keep praying. Saul was a wretched man, a man who killed Christians, or at least had them brought for death, and yet God could work through him. That means he can work through wretches like you and me. He can work through the wretches in our lives, and he can turn hearts toward him. Saul was a man breathing out threats against the Church of Christ. But he forgot about the fact that the Church of Christ is the bride of Christ. And so when Jesus knocks him down to the ground and kind of yells at him, and he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He doesn't know who he is, but he sees this great light. Jesus says to Saul, "You are persecuting me." How could he say that? Because he's persecuting the bride. The bride and the bridegroom share a one flesh union. If you are to attack the bride, you better be ready for what the husband brings at you. He protects his bride. He provides for her. He leads her. And he will not allow them forever to try to destroy her. This Saul, breathing out threats, is knocked down by Jesus and told to knock it off. Now, maybe we haven't had that moment in our life. Maybe we've never been doing something wrong, and Jesus shines a bright light in our face and says, "Stop it." But we shouldn't need it either. As long as we are already Christians, we already know the truth. We are not called to live like heathen. We are called to live as followers of Christ. We are Christians. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we fall. Yes, the old Adam in us still lives, but it needs to submit to Jesus. God didn't give up on Saul. In fact, he saw his passion for his faith, and he changed him. Not only does he knock him down, not only does Jesus directly tell him what he's going to be doing, but then God sends the means by which he is to convince him even further. And when you look at this scripture lesson, you will see that Ananias really doesn't want to go. "But Lord, I've heard what he's done. Lord, I know why he's here. I don't want to." God says, "Do it anyway." There are times when we don't want to tell others about Jesus. There are times when we are more content to let people that we love, even in our own lives, do the sins that they want to do rather than tell them what Jesus has to say. But do it anyway, because God has put you in their lives. So God takes Ananias and he sends him to Paul, and he tells Paul that this is Jesus. This is the one that I am willing to lay down my life for, that I will die confessing. On this road to Damascus, he has a transition. What does your road to Damascus look like? For many of us, it was at the font as an infant in our mother or godmother's arms. For some of you, it was living a life apart from Christ for a time until he said, "Enough, come and follow me." No matter when that took place, I rejoice that you are here with us today. Because it's not something that I have done. It's not something you have done. It's by the grace of God. So Ananias goes, and he baptizes Saul. And in that baptism, scales fall off as of his eyes, much like we see Eustace in his scales fall off in his baptism by Aslan. C.S. Lewis understood that conversion event, and he gives it to Eustace in his own book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. You can see Christian overtones and undertones in every ounce of that book and those series, because that's how Christ works. Conversion happens not because of who we are, but because of who God is. Conversion is His work, not ours. And how does Paul respond? He is now baptized. He now recognizes that he is going to live the rest of his life for Jesus, because it is Jesus who saved him. Saved him even though he was very religious before, but his religion was not directed in the true things. And so how does Saul respond after he is converted, after he submits, after he bows his knee to King Jesus? We read right here in our scripture lessons. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He knew that this was the only way to salvation. And if you know that there are people who are not saved, how could you ever not tell them? So filled with the Holy Spirit is he. But they're amazed. Now, hold on. We know who you are. We know that you are one of us. We know that you came there to round up Christians for arrest and for death. But he preaches all the more. He increases in strength. St. Luke writes that he confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. They had been so long waiting for their Messiah, the Christ, that when he came, they rejected him. In fact, they yelled out that he would be crucified. So hard were their hearts at that point. God is the one who changes hearts. He takes the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, one that beats for him, not for our own desires. Saul would go on to be known as Paul, and Paul would lose his life for a confession of Jesus Christ. Both Paul and Peter would go on to see death at the hands of their government, but Paul, being a Roman citizen, would not be crucified, because crucifixion was not allowed for Roman citizens, because Rome knew how despicable that capital punishment was of crucifixion. And so instead, they would remove his head. But Paul willingly went to that to die for Christ. Paul acknowledged that he is chief of sinners, that he did not deserve the grace that God bestowed on him, and I hope that every single one of us in this room today recognizes the same. My hope of heaven is not because I think I'm good enough. I could never be good enough. My hope of heaven is found in the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For every day that we walk on this earth is another opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the death of a Christian, by God's hand, not by our own, not by someone else's, but as God has ordained, this leads us to Jesus. The martyrs laid down their lives, just as Peter and Paul did, for Christ. They did not give up that confession. Because at the end of the day, the devil and his horde cannot damn us if we die in Christ. Paul writes the majority of the New Testament, the letters we have from his hand. He gives us some of the most beautiful scriptures that we memorize, that remain a part of who we are. The book of Romans surpasses so many writings throughout all of history. It shows us that it is God's grace. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised by the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He writes to the Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness. It is scandalous to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the greatest act of seeing that this is by grace through faith, Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are so many beautiful scripture passages that are to be in here, in our hearts and on our minds, that the devil may never take them away. Paul lived the rest of his life for Christ, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Paul loved to preach. He loved to teach. He loved to tell others about Jesus. And he let that direct the rest of his days. There's a great story about Paul's preaching later in Acts. Some of you should remember it. But even if you don't, let me remind you of it. So one day he is preaching. They had their service for the day. This is Acts chapter 20. The first day of the week, that is Sunday, because that is the day that Christians began to gather to honor God's holy name, to celebrate our Lord's resurrection. They came together to break bread, that is to have holy communion. And Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them. He preaches and he continues preaching until midnight. Can you imagine? Hours worth of a sermon? What a joy! Now what happens next? Don't use that against me. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. He preached a young man's death. So filled was he of telling them over and over what Jesus had done. Now, you could say, Pastor, see, the story shows that you can preach too long. But I would argue, maybe don't sit in a window when you're tired. That young man, Eutychus, was taken up by Paul, and God restored life to him. To sit at the feet of hours worth of hearing what Jesus Christ has done. That should be a joy for the Christian. For the early Lutherans, it was multiple hours worth of worship. They would gather Saturday night for Vespers. They would take the time to announce for communion. They would take the time to go through private confession. And then they would gather at dawn for matins and then have the chief service. That chief divine service was a 3-hour service, with about an hour worth of preaching. That is joy. Because when you are a Christian, when your heart is on fire for these things, you want to hear it. The Holy Spirit craves it. St. Paul is a man who lived the rest of his life for Jesus. And I think one of the most beautiful things is when Paul died. Now, I don't mean that his death was beautiful, but at the moment of his death, when his soul left his body and went to be with Jesus awaiting the day of resurrection, the souls of the saints were gathered with him as well. The angels, the archangels, Stephen, the man who lost his life at the feet of Saul, then Paul, rejoiced to see him in heaven. Our lives are dictated by God. And his love for us overshadows even the darkest of our days. What a joy it is to know that heaven is earned not by us, but by Jesus. So may we rejoice with the saints, may we rejoice with the martyrs, may we rejoice with the angels and the archangels, may we rejoice with those who have gone before us in the faith, because Jesus conquers all these things under his feet. The church sings. Praise for the light from heaven and for the voice of all. Praise for the glorious vision the persecutor saw. O Lord, for Paul's conversion, we bless your name today. Come shine within our darkness and guide us on our way. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.